This is your Classic Hits Breakfast with Jordan Curtis. We've been talking a lot about regional doctors and what we can do to encourage doctors to make that move. The federal government are looking at including measures in the federal budget to make that a bit more attractive. I'm joined by Dr. Chris Moy, Vice President with the Australian Medical Association. Chris, how are you?
Yeah, good morning.
So, I guess, have you had a look at what the federal government are suggesting for the upcoming budget?
Not at this stage, because we're still quite interested in looking at the details. Certainly, Omar Khorshid's right there in Canberra at the moment, our president, just trying to sort of go over where we're at the moment with the whole budget at the moment.
Mm. So, it looks like, budget being, I guess, a pretty finance-based document. Is it just finances which are affecting the choice for doctors to make that move regional?
Unfortunately, this has been a long problem which has been building over decades, really, about really an inability of the state and federal to coordinate a strategy which has really not kept up with the fact that there's been major sort of cultural changes in amongst doctors in particular, so that the willingness to do sort of single doctor type work in a regional area has dropped over time. And overall, it's just a change in the way that the funding has occurred health over time. So unfortunately, this has led to really the problems we are now. So we're in a fairly deep hole at the moment. It's going to take a fairly big strategy, which is where state and federal are going to start to have to coordinate, but also a fair bit of funding to actually get us back to where we really need to be to make sure that the health of the community in rural areas is fairly catered for.
Do we know what the amount of doctors, the shortfall is on a national scale of doctors in regional rural areas?
I haven't got the exact numbers at the moment. I mean, but just to give you an idea, which is just shocking, I mean, going out to the West Coast, it was just last year. Really, I mean, to understand that for the entire sort of West Coast, I think there were the same number of doctors. It was just in the order of about 100 doctors, but catering, you know, the entire area versus the same number of doctors that supply Gawler. It just gave us sort of an idea of what we're really talking about, and really the lack of capacity there that's really leaving the healthcare of the community there really short. But it's not just doctors, it's other healthcare workers as well, and things like allied health, and in particular mental health being sort of really major problems.
And I guess it's a bit of a domino effect as well, because as soon as the work starts getting a bit harder with less and less medical staff on hand, it makes other people not want to work in those areas as well, because it's just getting too much.
Well, absolutely. And I think, for example, I mean, if you get into a situation, and we're talking about the medical side of things, if you've got a situation where you need to be have coverage 24 hours a day, when in the past you may have had, say, three or four doctors doing it, and there was this sort of ability first up to sort of take a few days off, but also go away on holidays and leave, for example, that would be okay. But as time has gone on, because of the lack of incentives to keep doctors there, what's actually happened is dropped down to one or two doctors. And when you're down to one doctor, then you're in deep, deep trouble for both those things, ability to cover continuously, because it's just not there and feasible to do that. But also, in addition to that, it's also a matter of being able to take leave as well. So really, at the end of the day, the doctors there are heroes hanging on really at this moment in time, but we really need to give them some relief.
Of course, putting more money into the sector is one thing, but there's no amount of money that can make up for that work-life balance.
Well, that's exactly right. But it may be possible if we start to think a bit more cleverly. And I just don't think there has been that over a long period of time. I mean, I've just finished my job as South Australian president, and I just realised how deep a problem it has been. And it goes down to a whole number of things. And unfortunately, because of this state-federal relationship, so, for example, the GPs, for example, are paid by Medicare, funded by Medicare, but the state cover the hospitals, for example, and the lack of coordination between them. So if you're the only doctor there, you're expected to look after your own patients, but then if there's any major problem at the hospital, you're expected to sort of pull up stumps, walk out of your clinic, and then provide care in the hospital straight away. Not only is that extremely stressful and inconvenient, it's also a situation that has occurred over time where there's really been quite a significant amount of animosity that's developed over time because of the lack of understanding between, for example, the local health network and hospital and the local doctor and the way they're treating each other. And they just haven't spoken the same language. So this is what I get back to about the fact that this has been a long time brewing, and it's partly the fact that there's a lack of coordination between state and federal, and also just straight out lack of resourcing.
I guess how can states and federal governments work closer together, work better together to get a better result?
There have been some sort of bits of work that have been occurring, which I think are very important, but they are quite long term, and there is this desperate need to really fix things up now. But so the sort of things we've got to start from the start. We've got to start. I mean, the AMA's position is a third of all medical graduates should come from rural areas first up. We need to make sure that they're lined up to go back to those rural areas when they finish. We need to look at situations where the training afterwards is catered for and favours those people that are willing to go into rural areas. They should commit right throughout their student and their training careers, early doctoral careers, they should remain connected with those communities. And that's important because then they won't be disconnected and then end up back in the city and then you've lost that link. And I think the final thing is we've got to look longer term about making sure that the funding is such that we can actually encourage the doctors to stay out there and they stay out. You know, they're funded to do so. I mean, what does it take to get an engineer and their family to go to Roxby Downs? Well, I think we need to start thinking about what it takes to take a doctor or several doctors to go into a significant regional area to provide health services, to be able to provide the care there. And that has to be something that has to happen between state and federal, and there has to be a mature relationship instead of sort of really quite sort of aggressive, unfortunately, quite problematic relationships have occurred between, for example, the state health and also the local GPs, for example.
No worries. Well, Chris, thank you so much for your time today.
It's a pleasure.
That was Dr. Chris Moy, Vice President with Australian Medical Association on your Classic It's Breakfast.